This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, Making Connections That Count. In this interview, I talk with visiting assistant professor of biology, Dr. John Artem, and wildlife conservation students, Micah Mitchell, Shelby Mosley, and recent graduate of the program, Jennifer Rohr. In this interview, Dr. Artem talks about case studies involving research on carbon and trees on the A-State campus.
First of all, tell us, if you don't mind, Dr. Artem, about this research and how this all started, if you don't mind, please.
So this work came out of a class last semester, Human Dimensions in Wildlife and Resource Management. That class is a very interdisciplinary class where we focus on how different disciplines in the social sciences and the natural sciences and even the humanities interact to help understand better the environment. And one of the ways we do that is looking at case studies. So this being my first time teaching the class, one of the things I wanted to emphasize was to get students developing case studies. And so students had to write their own case study in order to finish the class. And what my three students did was to collect a little bit of data and to develop a case study that I would like to see us develop into a manuscript for publication.
That's fantastic. So tell us a little bit about the work, and we'll start with you, Micah, if you don't mind, please.
So basically, we went out into the field on A-State campus, and we were looking at the most populated areas of trees on campus. So we had five, right?
Yeah, we had five different plots,
and we did a transect, which is just like a 50-meter line across each plot. And then we took 3 points and took trees from a quadrant on each of those points. So how many trees is that? 128?
24 per transect.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we had that many trees, small and large, and then we measured those trees and took their species, and then this would tell us the carbon sequestration of the trees, so we could see, like, a total carbon of A-State campus.
So whenever we first started doing this, the first plot we did, it was very thick, and we were trying to run the 50-meter transect, and we were getting all kinds of twigs and stuff in our hair, and we were really struggling. I had to call Dr. Artem in his office, and I was like, we can't find any big trees in this plot, because it was a very young plot, so they're all like small. And he's like, well, that just means you don't have any data, you know, don't worry about that, like, no data doesn't mean that you didn't do your research. And that first one was really rough, but then we did all five plots in one day.
Yeah.
And once we got going, we each had our own little system. You know, Shelby would mark, like, be like, okay, this tree, you need to do that one. I would go and measure it, and then Micah would measure the distance from the transect. And I've never worked with a group as well as I did with them.
Very good. Shelby?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, like, especially once we got all that data, what we were planning on doing was finding that total carbon sequestration.
Hard work.
And then figuring out from there, like, what as a campus we could do to, like, counteract that. Like, that's our main goal, is figuring out what's our carbon uptake and then what kind of plans we could make as a school to be able to go against that.
And we're still, like, in the process of it. Like, I was still working just a couple days ago looking at the current trees that we have on campus and making plots of those on Google Earth, and then we're going to estimate what those are, what the sequestration for those plots are compared to those five plots, and then we'll use that to, like, try and encourage A-State to stop building and developing in areas that we really need those trees.
Right. And so, Micah, what would you say as we start talking about maybe some of the overall goals of the research that you would like to continue to work on? And please, as we've been talking, please jump in. Mm-hmm. So, Micah, I'll start with you. Kind of the overall goal that you would like to see in this research, please.
Well, I think, like, college campuses in general can be used as, like, a model for, like, urban areas as well as not urban areas, depending on where it's at. So if we use this study to see, like, what the impact of the carbon uptake would be and if it's a viable method to, like, help climate change, then I think other people can use this on even bigger college campuses, and it can help people with further research.
And then if it's proven through, like, college campuses, like, how much urban trees can sequester, it can impact cities as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And Dr. Artem, I know that you've got to be extremely pleased with the work that they've been doing so far in this particular study about the carbon and climate change and that.
Yes, yes. It's very interesting work. And it has implications even beyond what we've talked about so far. So there's an effect called urban heat islands. Mm-hmm. And urban areas, even Jonesboro, that are primarily paved surfaces, absorb lots of heat during the summer. And they can be 10, even 20 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than their surroundings. Tree cover makes a huge difference. And in fact, it's interesting, it's mostly the most affluent areas that retain their old beautiful tree cover, and they're considerably cooler in the summer months than our comparable areas in poor neighborhoods. And that's something we can work with on campus. And we've got some interest also from our friends in facilities management who have been very helpful to us in providing information like utility bills for last year so that we can estimate campus's carbon footprint. And they've got interest, of course, in how can we reduce our campus energy bills. And one obvious way is to encourage more tree planting on campus and to make sure we retain the old trees that provide beautiful tree canopy on campus.
You're listening to the Created State podcast here on KASU. So one thing, Shelby, I want to ask you is, tell us about how has it been working with A-State officials like facilities management and others as y'all been kind of working on this research?
It's been pretty interesting. I wasn't expecting all of the help that we would get, especially from higher up faculty and stuff like that. I thought we would be kind of on our own, like finding all this data, like diving deep into all the research that we could, but we've gotten a lot of help, and it's been very, very, not easy, but simple almost to be able to do it all.
Yeah, Jennifer?
Yeah, like she said, we basically just shot them an email, and they responded to us with the energy costs and everything for a year in their budget and stuff.
Yeah, they were very helpful.
How do you feel that this research is making a difference, not just for the campus community, but do you think it can make a difference in like Jonesboro and the region? And I'll start with you, Micah, on that. What do you think about that?
Well, climate change in general is a huge issue, and sustainability is a huge hot topic. So I think any research that you do that can help people understand like why trees are important or why we should think more about like what it's worth, I think anything like that is important for young people as well as older people.
Jonesboro is primarily agricultural land, mm-hmm. and as it is, we don't have that many trees around like urban areas, and I think that this could encourage to keep the trees that we do have and then plant even more.
And yeah. I think it with being a college campus as well, having so many young people coming in and seeing all the work that we could be doing is encouraging for when they go off to other jobs and do other things. Like, we could be a starting point for all of that.
What would you like to add in, Dr. Autumn?
I'd like to add to that, too, that it's important that our students view their campus as a living environment as well. That was a focus that my first-year experience class took this past year, because the more our students feel that connection of place to where they're going to school, I think the better they feel about being here and the more encouraged they are to form strong connections with our community.
So what's the next step? You said that you wanted to form this into a case study, which could possibly go into a publication. What would be the next step in that process to be able to kind of go towards making this an actual case study?
So we're doing that right now. In fact, we came here to do an interview. It was easy to schedule because we were going to meet for this hour and go through some of the numbers together. But basically, we've got more work to do in going through the numbers, making some of the comparisons, asking some of the quantitative questions that we've sort of sketched out for ourselves. And then it's just time to sit down and write it and rewrite it and rewrite it again and get it ready to submit for publication.
What's next in the process?
You mean ultimately?
Well, kind of what's next in the process. You say you're going to start looking at those next steps and all of that. What's next in the process?
What sorts of questions?
Yeah, kind of what things are you all looking at, if you don't mind, please?
Oh, sure. So, for example, we could look at things like for a given amount of tree cover, what differences might we expect in terms of air conditioning load changes for buildings? So what would we have to do in terms of tree planting to do that? For some of our forests, the forest around the north side of Pavilion Pond or the forest near the railroad tracks on the south side of campus, they're very young forests. What could be done over the next 10 to 20 years to encourage those trees to grow more quickly? What difference might that make in our net carbon budget for campus? And then beyond that, we can also look at what lessons we can learn in terms of potential policies, both at campus, but then looking beyond that, how might that apply to cities and other municipalities beyond our campus? And this is something that a number of campuses around the country have done by creating positions, for instance, a vice chancellor of sustainability that's responsible for looking at things like carbon footprint of campus and how it can be offset.
Okay. So as we've been going through the research process of this, and I'll just go, once again, we're with Dr. John Artem, also with Shelby Mosley, we're with Micah Mitchell, and also Jennifer Rohr, and we're here on the Created State podcast here on KASU. As we're doing this, we take a look at the next steps and involved in research in that. How has it been working so far in this research process, Micah? How has that been so far?
It's been really enjoyable because part of my past, I've done some of this forestry work before, like the field work that we had to do in order to get this data. So it's been like revisiting that. And it's been really enjoyable to do the research. And I've never thought about this before as far as how you get these numbers and this data. So it's been a big learning experience for me.
All right.
Yeah, I never even considered like going into studying this carbon sequestration
carbon uptake,
stuff.
Yeah.
You know, wildlife management, our focuses in our classes are more specific. They're like on mammals, on fish, on reptiles. And I was like, I'm more of a general person, so I'm enjoying this carbon sequestration thing because I get to include different tree species, and then I get to take into account what tactics we could use to help these urban forests grow, and then if they improve in their growth, it'll also improve the overall wildlife of the area. So that's one aspect that I really enjoy of it.
Fantastic. Shelby?
I think my favorite part of it has been getting all the connections that I have with this experience. Like, I've never been able to do a big project like this before on campus, so being able to get that experience, especially with all of them, it's been really helpful learning how to connect with other people and get more focused on what I want to do in the future.
And all the aspects that go into it, you don't think about, you know, like facilities management. You have to reach out and
definitely
get all that info, yeah.
So I want to ask you, I want to get to know you all a little bit. Tell us a little bit, Micah, a little bit about yourself and how you chose Arkansas State.
Oh, okay. I was really always sort of interested in Arkansas State because I've always loved Jonesboro because my brother was from here, my half-brother. So I'd always liked the city itself. And so when I came up here and toured, I really, really enjoyed like the environment and how friendly everyone was and the faculty and how helpful. And then when I originally got here, I was going to do zoology, and I didn't know there was a wildlife program, so I sort of stumbled upon it, and then I got into it, and I changed my major, and so far it's been really, really great, and all the professors are amazing, so it's been awesome.
Fantastic.
In high school, I knew that I wanted to major in wildlife in college, and turns out the only two schools in Arkansas that were on my radar that had even wildlife majors were Arkansas Tech and Arkansas State. And I toured Tech, and it was just it's a little too small for me. And then I toured A-State, and I actually really enjoyed it. So I ended up here.
Very good. Shelby?
Yeah. I started off wanting to do marine biology, which is kind of, not Arkansas is not the best place for that. But looking into it, I originally came for the marine biology minor. But going through with all of my friends and then finding out about the wildlife program as well, kind of like Micah did, I decided that was my thing. And then now I'm kind of going on the avenue of mammal research, going into mammal breeding and reproduction research. So that's kind of my main focus right now, is going through that to get there.
Going through this research process, has it kind of shifted your focus on things that you may want to do in the future as you've been doing this research? And if it has, why? All three of you are saying yes, definitely. So let's kind of start, Mike, if you don't mind. How has it?
For me, it really, like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do grad school to do a thesis project for master's. And this has made me decide that I for sure want to do that, because I enjoy research and I want to know, like, how to be more independent research. And so this is like a really great starting point for that writing and that process and all of that in general. So this is going to help me later for sure.
Fantastic. Jennifer?
Although this has been fun, I never saw myself going into research after I graduated undergrad. And I still don't. You know, I have a job lined up in Indiana in outdoor education coming up in March. And that's where my heart is. Like, I want to teach kids about the outdoors and stuff. But I am not opposed to, if anyone asked me to help with their research, I would love to do that. I just couldn't bring myself to lead a research project by myself.
But never say no, and always keep those opportunities open. Yes. That's definitely what I think that what everyone would say here. Yeah. Shelby, what about you?
I think I'm still on the people side of it, because I wanted to go into research originally, especially with the mammal reproduction side of it. Being able to get that experience working with others and finding connections on campus has helped me definitely in the future find professors and people that I would want to work with eventually later on when I graduate.
How in this process have y'all enjoyed working with each other in this? How's that been?
We've actually known each other since our very first semester.
Yes, we
at
had
A-State.
Our we had our connections and class then, together, which is like that freshman,
yeah,
that startup class.
Sophomore year, Micah and I did an internship.
Oh yeah,
under Dr. Roland, studying bats and Cache National Wildlife.
I think so. Yeah, that's right.
Refuge. Mm-hmm. And then that's how I got to know her. And then the last 2 years here, Shelby's been in more of our classes, because wildlife mm-hmm. is a small major here. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Everyone knows each other.
So it's been a pleasure.
That's fantastic. How has it been working with Dr. Artem in this research
also
process?
A pleasure. Yes. He's super like excited and helpful and enthusiastic, which is super important in all of this. Mm-hmm. And any questions we've had, he's been on it, like, to help us as fast as he can. So,
and how has it been working with these ladies on this project, Dr. Artem?
Well, I only regret that I didn't know that Shelby used to be interested in marine biology. If I had known, I would have tried to lure her back to the dark side. But I really love it. I love working with students, and especially on these small group projects or one-on-one projects, because it really gives you a chance to understand the strengths and weaknesses of students and help them to grow in ways that big classes aren't always really good at.
That's visiting assistant professor of biology, Dr. John Artem, and wildlife conservation students, Micah Mitchell, Shelby Mosley, and recent graduate Jennifer Rohr on the Created State podcast here on KASU. To hear more interviews like this one, you can subscribe to the Created State podcast on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. You can also go to the Created State podcast page on KASU.org. Also, tell others about the Created State podcast. Please leave us a review. For those of you who have checked us out, thank you so much for that. And please share. Let other people know about the Created State podcast and the research that you're learning about here that's going on at Arkansas State University. You are listening to the Created State podcast and A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves.